No stopping, no stopping, no stopping. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. Yes, 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping. Got a continuity off?
We've got a continuity off.
You've got Alfred, I've got Adam Warlock. You went first, or should I?
You go ahead.
Alright, so Adam Warlock is a cosmic Marvel hero. He flies around in space with no space suit. He's got a giant cape. Completely gold skin and blonde hair. So he's very distinctive. Like, if you see him, you can spot him in a crowd soon. I mean, he first appeared as a Fantastic
Four
villain.
Probably can't look directly at him on a sunny day.
Oh, yeah, he sparkles. He's kind of like a Twilight vampire. But even more pretentious and angsty. But he began life as him. He was created by this group called the Enclave, and he's supposed to be like the perfect genetic being or something like that. And he briefly fights Fantastic Four, but he kind of stalemates.
Being looks like the dead chick in Goldfinger.
Or like a painted Ken doll with longer hair. But also him as a code name is kind of terrible.
Him?
Him with a capital H.
I just feel like every 3 minutes he'd be like, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Are you talking to me? Did you need
me? Just totally needy.
Every time they mention, you know,
like, we're going to go see Dad. You know, I haven't seen him in a while. He's like, no, I'm right here. Look, guys, guys. But he kind of, I think he stalemates. It's been a long time since I read the issue. But he goes off into space and basically gets into a cocoon. Like a space cocoon that he makes. He does this more than once over the course of his career. When he comes out, he's slightly better. He's, you know, better adjusted. So the first thing he does is goes to... is either on Asgard or Earth, but he tries to steal Thor's girlfriend, pretty much. And he's like, you're going to be my wife, Lady Sif. And Sif is like, I don't think so. And Thor is like, I definitely don't think so.
Wait. What?
I don't know.
That's well adjusted.
Yeah. Better adjusted. So,
okay, Lady Sif is...
Think like Red Sonja with more clothes and actually cool.
Okay.
So, like, black hair, like, pretty much...
Rape plot in the background, or no?
No, she's a god.
Oh, nice.
Goddess, whichever. Hopefully not, like, I haven't read it if there is.
But she's like a warrior goddess, okay.
Yeah. Kind of like, well, she's actually exactly what kind of what I want Wonder Woman to be.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. Walt Simonson did a lot of good work with her, where, this is a whole tangent, but, like, Thor was so obsessed with being, like, a great god and, like, awesome at everything that she was like, you know, you don't have time for me, and I don't have time for people who don't have time for me, so I'm gonna just break up right now. Which, mature, you know, I kind of like that. Also, she has a big sword, and sword's awesome. But anyway, Thor and him fight, you know, him once again goes into space, hops into a cocoon.
Wait.
He's still him at this point.
Okay, but Thor, he literally just goes to her, you're going to be my wife?
Pretty much, yeah.
And...
I can actually read you the Wikipedia entry on it. But it's like, you know, perfect being needs a wife, so I'll just kidnap Sif, and then we're going to get married.
Kidnap, oh yeah, that's a sign of well-adjusted. Okay.
But, once again, space cocoon.
Uh-huh.
It's quickly becoming a defense mechanism.
You wouldn't hit a guy in a cocoon, would you?
Yeah. And really, probably wouldn't, because that's kind of gross, you know? But, this time, after this stint in his cocoon, he's, he comes out and he meets the High Evolutionary, who's kind of... If you take all the science characters who are mad scientists and put them together, that's the High Evolutionary. Like, he used to have a mountain in Eastern Europe where there were, like, sentient cows who would walk around on two legs and stuff because he was like, oh, I can evolve these to their highest form.
That is awesome. Although, that is distressingly Lamarckian.
There was one called Bova who was...
Actually, the Lamarckian would be a cool name for a villain who involves creatures like that and has them commit crimes for him.
Has to be a Batman villain, though.
Yeah.
But there's one cow who's named Bova, and she's basically like the maid slash headmistress of his little gene farm thing.
So he evolves cows to their highest form.
To make them butlers
and
maids.
Once again, that's not how evolution works. According to evolution, cows are just fine. They're still living. Anyway.
Yeah. So he's...
But, and then, yeah. Then he's like, do the dishes.
More or less,
she's like, I've got hooves!
She's got a bonnet.
How am I supposed to do this?
And who else? Like, the Scarlet Witch?
No.
Well, she's got like a maid's dress. She's very matronly. I've got to talk about High Evolutionary and all those things in the next one of these. But he gives him a name, and his name is Adam Warlock, because Adam, the first of his kind, and Warlock, because people will fear and hate him forever, apparently. Which, who knew? That's what Warlock meant all this time. And he sends him to Counter-Earth, which is an exact copy of Earth, but on the opposite side of the sun from Earth at all times. And setting aside gravity and how that would probably destroy every planet in the solar system, it's just like Earth.
Okay.
So, Adam Warlock goes there, and he's sent to fight the Man-Beast as part of like him having to grow up and evolve into like an actual human being. Mm-hmm. Kind of Pinocchio, but without any sense of like regret or guilt or that kind of thing. And contrary to his name, Man-Beast is actually just a giant werewolf. So, yeah. he fights him, and he pretty much gets his butt kicked and dies. Almost dies, I'm sorry.
Space cocoon?
No, actually. He crucifies himself, and he dies, and he comes back 3 days later much stronger than ever, and beats the Man-Beast with the help of the Hulk.
That is so blasphemous.
Yeah. There's like a giant Ankh which he built on a hill on Counter-Earth, and he's hung up there for a while.
So, let me see. He is built to be the highest form of life.
Yeah.
And he was beat up by a werewolf. And his reasoning is...
Space werewolf.
Let me drill holes through my hands and feet and hang myself on a not cross.
Yeah.
That'll make me better.
Yeah. It turns out, who knew, it did.
I guess that's why I don't sparkle in the sunlight.
Yeah. And though he did need the help of the Hulk to beat the Man-Beast, which I guess he wasn't really that much better anyway, because the Hulk is the strongest one there is. Mm. Kind of low-hanging fruit. So he floats around for a little while. No space cocoon. He's just, like, all about being the messiah of Counter-Earth. Until, also, Counter-Earth explodes at one point, and he's proven to be a failure, and he mopes in space for a while. But Jim Starlin, who's been doing, like, 80,000 space miniseries at DC over the past, like, 5 years, he's, Matt Fraction described Jim Starlin's Warlock work as the moment nerds discovered acid. Because, like, Grant Morrison's story is kind of trippy, layered and complex. Jim Starlin is trippy times 1,000. There are numerous panels where there's someone, like, moping on a rock in, like, the thinker position, and the camera slowly zooms into their eye, and there are stars and cosmic and, you know, crazy stuff, and it keeps zooming, and there they are sitting on that rock again.
It's full of stars.
Things like that all the time. And so he took the Messiah thing even further and invented the Magus, who is pretty much Adam Warlock, but with purple skin and a white afro. Looks completely ridiculous, but was kind of a pretty good villain, because he's actually Adam Warlock from the future, after he becomes evil and founds the Universal Church of Truth.
The Universal Church of Truth is evil?
Yes.
So Martin Luther King Jr. really messed up that book.
But it's in the future. Things always change. Maybe in the future good means evil, but not really. Because the Magus is clearly evil. He kills tons of people.
Was it Martin Luther King Jr. who saw the truth was set you free, or...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But the Magus... So no one knows that the Magus is the future version of Adam Warlock, because he's in shadows for a while. He's kind of the scheming villain.
Also, he's purple.
Yeah. But he is Adam Warlock, so you can look at his face and go, oh, that's... Is that my cousin? What's going on? But he's been subtly influencing Adam Warlock into becoming the Magus. Since he's from the future, you have to make yourself evil to become the evil Messiah.
All right.
Yeah, and at this point, Adam Warlock is flying around in space having adventures, and he's got a couple of sidekicks. Well, one's kind of a nemesis, and the other's a sidekick. One is Pip the Troll, who is from a planet of troll people, where he was a prince.
Pip the space troll?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
But he was exiled from his planet because he was a pretty crappy prince, and all he did was get drunk and go to, like, bordellos and things.
The scale of princes, that's not that bad.
So in space, all he does is, like, smoke cigars and look for women to hit on. The other is Gamora, who is inexplicably not a Godzilla villain, but she's actually the most dangerous woman in the universe. That's her tagline, is that she can beat up anything and anybody. So anyway, he has to fight the Magus, because, of course, you know, fighting yourself, evil twins and all that. Mm-hmm. But he beats him by... Instead of, like, punching him into oblivion and vowing to never become evil, he looks at all of his possible timelines, Adam Warlock's timelines, and goes, this is the shortest one, I'll chop off all the others except for this. So he shortens his lifespan and, like, kind of forces his life onto one path. Apparently there's a machine that will let you do this, because, I don't know.
Want to live shorter?
Yeah, live shorter, don't become evil, and have no options in the future. And this will actually become important as of 3 weeks ago when it came up again. Mm-hmm. All this happened like 20, 30 years ago. But his villain after the Magus was Thanos. And you know Darkseid from DC. Thanos is pretty much Darkseid. Like, he's got the craggy chin, purple skin. And he's a pretty solid ripoff as far as these things go. So time passes. Warlock dies and comes back. Thanos is turned to stone and somehow escapes. A lot of boring stuff. Until Thanos gains possession of the Infinity Gauntlet, which is 6 gems, one for each finger, and then I think one right here on the back of the hand, which allow you to control time, space, people's minds. Generic magic item. So the first thing he does is kill half the universe. Just pops them right out of existence.
I'm thinking that the scientists who invented him are really kicking themselves at this point.
Yeah. So, Adam Warlock is like, oh crap, Thanos just killed half the universe. And, like, a couple of his friends. All the heroes on Earth are like, holy crap, all of our wives just died. And some of our friends. Because, you know, you've got to have your heroes and not their wives in the crossover. And they go and fight him. And the thing is, Thanos is very arrogant and thinks that he's won. And so they beat him through his own hubris and take the gauntlet from him and reverse everything so everyone comes back to life.
Okay, how did they beat him?
He thought that he had won and evolved past the gauntlet, so they just took it off his hand. These things happen, you know. But Thanos' deal is that he... So Death, for some reason, in the Marvel Universe is like a really hot skeleton. She wears a robe and has like a skeleton face, but it's clearly a comic book female underneath the robe. So Thanos has a crush on Death and has been trying to gain her favor for about 20 years now. And that's why he killed half the universe. He's like, look, this is for you. I'm doing all this for you. And Death is
like, I was going to go on vacation.
Yeah, you gave me so much work. Like, there's a good bit where Thanos is like, you know, I've done all this for you, all this death, all this destruction. I'm going to kill Warlock. It's all for you. And the skull-faced girl kind of looks at him and then looks away and ignores him. And, like, his whole face just falls. But they take the gauntlet from him, and the Living Tribunal, the guys who kind of decide the order of the universe when giant cosmic creatures go crazy, they're the ones who are like, hey, stop that. They go to Adam Warlock, they're like, listen, you're an artificial being, so you can't have the gauntlet. So, you know, give it up. So he gives all the gems to all of his friends. And they form a superhero team.
Oh.
Not very responsible. That started about 10 years of crap. But,
oh, good God, it just keeps going.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. But skipping to recently, he was reborn during a pretty good crossover where a bunch of people died in space, and he was like, oh, crap, psychic backlash, and goes into a cocoon. And, like, I feel like he's done this in moments we haven't seen. Like, when he wakes up, he's like, oh, crap, I slept with a Gamora, cocoon, you know? And they wake him up too early because he's prophesied to be the savior of one of the alien races. So he's like a little bit of a magus in him, but also super powerful and kind of good.
Did they let him, let those aliens know what happens the last time he tried to be a savior?
Yeah, but they were like, it's either die or let everyone else die. So he's a good guy for a couple years, but recently, and during the War of Kings crossover, there was a space war, and space war ripped space and time. So the way it was described in the book...
Wait, a space what?
Space war.
War.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said something else there.
Space
okay.
whore?
Yes.
Man. But it ripped space and time, and the direct quote from the book is that time and space rupture and are flapping around loose, causing massive destruction. Which sounds kind of funny, but, you know, comic books. So his trick to fixing it is to is basically to snap off this timeline and graft nowadays onto a different timeline. But what he doesn't tell anybody is that the timeline he grafts them onto is the one where the Magus came to life. So as soon as he does all this, he's stabbed by a traitorous friend. And as he's dying, he turns into the Magus and comes back to life. And it's like, it's really good to be back, and kills a friend, and then to be continued.
Huh.
So pretty much like...
Yes, I'm thinking those scientists are
at
like,
this point, they've probably all committed suicide and shame. Because being Adam Warlock is like just piling genocide and atrocity on top of each other.
We knew we should have stuck with the Furby.
But he's one, he's...
Then we went to Gigapets, and next thing you know, we're creating Adam Warlock.
He's like one of those good characters who just has such a crap decision or a crap series of decisions made that he's kind of broken, but still interesting to read about. But all right, your go.
Okay. I don't have nearly as much as you, but I do have I tried getting the continuity for Alfred because after the Hawks, anything too difficult would make me go mad. Completely mad.
Madder.
His full name is Alfred Thaddeus Crane Pennyworth. Pretty much
that's
guaranteeing that he got beat to hell.
Yeah.
Although, in the past, his name was Alfred Beagle.
Was that when he was fat? Like when he was the fat butler in the 40s and 50s?
He didn't have a last name then.
Oh, weird.
But yeah, he started out as just like this... Actually, it's before the 40s. Before the 40s, the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
He was this overweight guy who was this bumbling detective.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman and Robin would go out and solve crimes, and then he had his own four-page story where he would be an idiot and, like, trying to imitate them. Like, and solve crimes by accident.
Yeah.
So he's like Michael Caine and Clue, only chubby.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But what happened is in 1943, they had a series and a thin actor played him.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's name was William Austin. He was very posh and proper and had like thin penciled mustache.
Yeah.
And so they literally in the comics they sent Alfred to fat camp.
That is amazing.
And he came back thin and with a little mustache, and that's how he was from then on.
Fat camp in the 40s ruled.
His father is apparently Jarvis. That's one of his, I don't know, Marvel is parodying DC, or DC is parodying Marvel at this point.
When did they reveal that?
I don't know. It was one of the... This was in the 50s, where it turned out his father, Jarvis, he was a secret agent and an actor.
Mm.
And his father died and wanted him to be a butler. And he actually agreed to this.
I mean, like, if I had to choose between a life of, like, action and women and tons of money and helping some, you know, old rich guy change his diaper, I would choose a diaper.
Yeah.
But that's actually before Marvel's Jarvis.
Oh.
Because he's from, I think the Avengers were, like, 62 or 63.
Well, in that case.
Yeah.
But, The thing is, that old rich guy didn't want him. They had this whole thing where he was trying to be the butler to Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson, and they didn't want him and were trying to conceal their secret identities while he while he bottled.
Yeah.
And then one day he just clicked the wrong switch or hit his hand on the wrong panel, and the thing flew, a wall slid back.
Yeah.
And it was the Batcave.
And they were like, oh crap. Like, caught in the act of changing.
Fine. You can bottle for us. Okay. My favorite part, though, was finding out that in the 1960s, Alfred was killed. And wow. He came back, and he was evil. So,
I'm okay
suck
with
it,
that.
Jason Todd.
Been there, done
you
that.
You thought you were so original. And he called himself the Outsider. He had a pale face, and he had makeup with dark circles around his eyes. And he commanded, like, super villain teams.
Wow, so that's kind of what he does right now, except it's heroes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And without the Joker makeup.
Yeah. Though sometimes with the art, you can barely tell.
They started out later, I think in the 70s, it was just shown that he had Julia Remarque, Remarque, a daughter.
Nice.
By Mademoiselle Marthe, who he worked with during, as a spy during the Second World War.
Oh, was she Mademoiselle Marie?
Marie, oh. Yep, that's an I, not a T.
Ooh.
I got burned. Sorry. Mademoiselle Marie.
Yeah.
Who he worked... But, okay, this is the 70s, meaning that he hadn't seen his daughter in, like...
30 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
And as soon as they got together, he started trying to set her up with Bruce Wayne.
That's not creepy at all.
Where he's like, I'm done buttling. Marry him, and then I'll just... sit back. We'll hire someone else.
Oh, was Batgirl in the movie Alfred's daughter?
She was his niece.
Oh, okay.
It's shown that he has a brother, Wilfred, and he has a sister. I think her name is Margot.
Yeah.
At least in various movies and TV shows and things.
Mm.
Okay. What threw me most was the many hookups of Alfred. He has Mademoiselle Marie.
Yeah.
He also has Leslie Tompkins. And if you notice, they actually had a whole Gotham Knights thing where they were flirting for like 30 years, but kept getting interrupted first because Bruce Wayne would like fall down, and then his parents died.
It
was tragedy.
Yeah.
And then he would, they had this scene where they were like finally... passionately kissing on a couch where they declared their love for each other, and Batman comes staring in with a bullet wound.
What a killjoy, man.
Yeah. But the last one, I saw this in on the Wikipedia entries, and I actually remember this from when I first started reading comics and I started reading the Robin series. Alfred was shown as being romantically interested in Tim Drake's stepmother.
Wasn't she married?
Yes, well, no, at that point she was not married. What she was widowed and insane.
Nice.
In an institution. bound.
Yeah.
And just raving about her husband. And
what
Bruce
did he see
Wayne
her?
Is seriously teasing Alfred and being like, you've been seeing a lot of Dana. And Alfred was just saying she's a very nice lady or something.
Wow.
And then, of course, she got blown up along with the rest of Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
But the thing is, not only was she widowed, not only was she completely nuts, like unable to connect with reality, she has been shown in the comics as being too young for Tim's father. She's the 20-year-old, 22-year-old physical therapist who comes in after he lost, you know, his wife, and he's in a wheelchair and kind of helps him out, and they fall in love.
Kind of a January-December romance instead of...
May-December, actually.
Well, January, because you're
January
so young.
January is...
Oh, babies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I take it back.
But she's, like, too young for Tim's father. Mm-hmm. Tim's father is around the same age as Bruce, and Alfred could be Bruce's father.
Yeah.
So she is literally, like, 6 years older than Tim. Insane, widowed, and Alfred's like, I really like her.
Just a really late midlife crisis.
Well, I guess if you had all your action blocked...
Yeah.
By Batman staggering in with a bullet wound or being like, look up this or wash my socks or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm sure half of those was just Batman being like, no, my surrogate father and surrogate mother are not going to make out as long as I'm alive. It's like, Tim, get the gun.
Yeah.
I don't know why all my Batman jokes make him out to be really childish, but they do. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, now...
So my favorite Bruce Alfred moment is where Bruce is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a big black obelisk built in the cave, and you go inside and you, like, scan your retinas, and he gives you his last message.
Yeah.
And usually, like, for Tim Drake and Dick, it was like, I love you, keep going on with the mission. And for Jason Todd, he was just like, you were irretrievably broken.
Get
I
help.
Should have gotten your help when I could. Instead, I did this, and now you're even worse. Straighten up. Or something.
Way to go, Pops.
Yeah. And then for Alfred, he said, I know this is hard, and you've tried your best, and you'd be absolutely justified in just getting on with your own life, but if you're willing, I have another. Yeah, at this point. But if you're willing, I have another mission for you. If you accept, click this button within the next 30 seconds. And Alfred clicks it, and he's like, I knew you could. And then, and only then, does he go, you were always like a father to me. So if Alfred didn't accept it, it would just been like, oh, you didn't accept it? You limey bastard.
You know, I bet there was just one button. Like, he had no choice.
To get out, click this button.
Yeah. And that mission sucks. It's leading all of Batman's, like, hanger-ons and missions to go not kill people.
Well, the thing is, they weren't even his hanger-ons. That was the ultimate jerk move.
Yeah.
Where he literally took over the Outsiders. He just came in. He kicked Dick Grayson out. He's like, you were never supposed to lead this team. You're too good. There's the door.
Yeah.
And then he kicked out half the team itself. I forget. What's her name? Thunder.
I don't think she's on it anymore. It's all like the classic Outsiders lineup now. So it's like Black Lightning, Katana, Geo-Force, like four other characters no one has ever cared about, ever. Well, I guess Metamorpho, like,
so
someone likes
him. So you would seriously be reading the Outsiders right now for Alfred?
Yeah. And it's Alfred, like, fighting people and getting exploded and things like that.
Yeah, I remember reading Outsiders, the little miniseries where he finally turns to Black Lightning's daughter. What's her name? Anissa.
Yeah.
And just said, no, you're not qualified. Boo. Get out. You're not qualified of a team that I am not invited to join.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, last straw. Too much of a jerk for me to continue this.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. And he says the same to Aquaman.
Though, like, in his defense, Aquaman isn't qualified for much of anything. But yeah, there is one issue with that series, which, My friend was talking about how, like, just excessive, worthless, unearned violence is kind of the big thing for DC right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where Alfred steps out of a building and Deathstroke chops a guy's head in half. And, like, it splits and there's blood spraying everywhere. And Alfred's like, oh my, you know. And it's just, like, it's, like, childlike violence in that book all the time.
huh, well, I'm glad I left.
Yeah. Also, Kitana is, like, one of the laziest characters I've ever seen in my entire life. Because her entire gimmick is that she's Japanese and her soul is cursed, or her sword is cursed, so she has to fight people with it all the time. That's it. Boring.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But so, what else? Is that the end of Alfred?
That is, I think, the end of Alfred. I decided to end it with his inappropriate crush on the mentally ill, much younger woman who's related to his, essentially, grandson.
Well, I guess if you think of it how he's been out of the game for 30 years, he probably, he has no self-confidence at all. And MySpace is a bit too much for him. And I'd actually read a World War II series with, like, Alfred and Mademoiselle Marie and Sergeant Rock and those guys. At least a one-shot, you know.
That'd be good, yeah.
Though, that makes Alfred, like, 80 years old.
Yeah.
Or no, more.
That's why, I think that's why they had to scrap the...
Yeah. Jeez. Good times, though. I bet Alfred has more good stories than Adam Warlock does. But, you want to do an outro?
I don't think we did an intro.
Oh, sucks to be them.
No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking.